Go with me, if you would, back to Psalm 138. Psalm 138. This is a psalm that very much speaks to me. The words in this psalm are just so clear, and they're so powerful, and they're so comforting. Every time that we look at this together, it blesses me. And I'm just thankful for it. I'm so thankful for this song. I was reading back through the psalms and turned to this one, and I had a moment of, oh yeah, I forgot about Psalm 138. And I pray the Lord will bless it to us tonight. I pray He will make us not only blessed, but thankful to know this right here. Look with me at verse 6. Psalm 138, verse 6 says, "Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands." That's good, isn't it? That is good. I want us to just dwell on that and think on each line, each of those lines that we just read for just a minute. Verse 6 says, "Though the Lord be high." I love that. I love that. How glorious it is to think on His highness. You know, you've heard servants reverence their king by calling him "your royal highness." Well, just think on His royal highness. How glorious it is to think on His highness. And I'll tell you why it's glorious. It's because in every way possible, the sinful flesh of man, and I include my own sinful flesh in this, but in every way possible, in the flesh of man, Paul said, "But for the grace of God, there go I." And it's so. But for the grace of God, there go I. But the sinful flesh of man, in every way, tries to bring him down. Whether men realize it or not, whether women realize it or not, they try to bring this high and holy God down. That's what Romans 1 tells us. In their imaginations, they bring him down. They try to bring him down on equal par with them. Bring him down in mind. Bring him down in their eyes. Bring him down in their heart. And they've tried to make this high and holy God common. And He's not common. And that's what man, you know, me and him. Not only have they tried to make him common, they've tried to make him lower than they are. Lower in ability, lower in authority. They say things like, "Won't you let God?" That's bringing him down. Lower than your authority, lower than your ability. So man has tried to bring him down in decision, will. That's all man does is bring him down, down, down. Here's the thing about it. He cannot be brought down. He cannot be brought down. God the Father has highly exalted him, highly lifted him up in a way that can't even be fathomed by man. Man's imagination, you know, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man. Man cannot imagine the highness of our God. He is far above all things. His name is far above all names. His word is far above all words. Look right here at verse 1. Psalm 138 verse 1 says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. I tell you, that's a blessed man or woman who has been made able and willing to say that. I'll praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods, little g gods, I will sing praise unto thee. All of the gods that man's imagination has made up. Man says, well, I think God is like this. Okay, well, I don't. I think God is like this. All of these little g gods. He said, before all the gods, I'll sing praise to the true and living God, the high and holy God. Verse 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name, even above your own name. You've magnified your word. In the day when I cried, thou answeredest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Great is the glory of the Lord. So great. Great is his glory. High and lofty is the glory of the Lord. Ephesians 4 says, he is far above all heavens, all of the planets and the stars, and he's far above all that. Psalm 113 says, he looks down on heaven. He's far above all the heavens, but he looks down on heaven. You know, we have it in our mind that he is in heaven, and he is. But Psalm 113 says he has to humble himself to behold the things that are in heaven. High above, highly exalted is our God and our King and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's who we're talking about, the Lord Jesus Christ. Highly exalted. All right, but look with me at this right here. Verse 6. It says, though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. That is compassion. That's kindness. That is love. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. How low does he mean? How low of a sinner is he talking about? An extremely low sinner will want to know the answer to that. The lowest of the low will want to know the answer to that. Just how low is he talking about here? Turn with me over to Psalm 113. I've quoted it to us here a couple of times. Let's read it. Psalm 113. This is amazing, the amazing part of amazing grace. Psalm 113, verse 1 says, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, The Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth Himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? Now watch verse 7. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust. How lowly are we talking? How low of a sinner? How low in sin is He still willing to regard and help? He said the dust. A sinner in the dust. You know, the scripture, so often when a man was just so low and just so broken and just so shamed and so depressed, the scripture says he covered himself in dust and ashes, just throwing dust and ashes on himself. Well, that's who the Lord helps. Verse 7 says, He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dung hill. The dung hill. Not off of, he said out of the dung hill. He's not just talking about the insignificant and the unworthy, the dust. He's talking about the unwanted. The dung hill. The repulsive, unwanted sinner. That's who he's talking about. He said, that's who I'll help. That's who I'll raise up. That's who I'll wash and cleanse in my soul cleansing blood. That's who I'll make white as snow in the blood of the Lamb. Verse 7 says, He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that He may set him with princes, even with the princes of His people, His chosen people. Lifts him up to set him among princes. Verse 9 says, He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. He said, I came to cleanse the filthy and to give life to the dead. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. That's what I was and am by nature, filthy and dead. That's salvation. Clean and alive. Go with me back to Psalm 138. Verse 6 says, Though the Lord be high, yet hath He respect unto the lowly. He has respect unto the lowly. The scripture says over and over, this is so important right here. The scripture says over and over again, we could turn to so many scriptures that tell us over and over again that the Lord is no respecter of persons. The Lord is no respecter of persons, but one. There is one person that the Lord respects. And that's Jesus Christ, the Son. He said, This is my beloved Son. In Him I'm well pleased. I'll accept Him. I respect Him for who He is and what He's done. All for His lowly people. Philippians 3 says, It's because Christ humbled Himself and made Himself to be a servant of the Father, to do the work that the Father gave Him to do, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, that He might save and redeem His people. That's the reason why God the Father highly exalted Him and gave Him a name above every name. The only way that any sinner can receive respect from God is in Christ. That's the only way. It's all because of who He is and what He has done. The Father respects Christ the Son. But every soul that has been placed in Christ the Son receives the same thing from the Father that he receives. As he is, so are we. His respect, the Father's respect to us, is not in our works or not in our anything. It's in his Son. It's all in his Son. God loves us in his Son. The love of God to us is in his Son. It's all extended to those who are in the Son. The election of God is in the Son. It's all in the Son. In Isaiah 42, the Father said, "My Son is mine elect. I choose him." We're only elect in him. And the Father only has respect. He only has a willing compassion and a joy and a respect towards us lowly sinners in Christ our Savior, his beloved Son. Verse 6 says, "Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off." The proud he knoweth afar off. That was proven to King Nebuchadnezzar. And he spent the rest of his days telling everybody, "Don't follow in my footsteps." Those that walk in pride, he's able to abase. All pride is going to be abased before him, but there is no pride that's going to be abased like self-righteous pride. Self-worthiness before God. That's what the Lord said concerning the Pharisee and the publican in the temple. He said, "Everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Lord, let me humble myself before you. If I do, that's you creating a willing heart for me to be humbled. But let me humble myself so you don't have to humble me. Let me cast my all on you. Let me bow before you. Verse 7 says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me." He said, that's my hope. "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me." This life is, this is few days and full of trouble. Trouble. David said in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. You're with me." That's the reason. The right hand of God is with me. Jesus Christ, my Savior. The scripture refers to our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, as being at the right hand of God. It constantly says he is at the right hand of God. And what that means is in the place of his honor. It doesn't mean that he is beside God. It means he is sitting in the seat of God's honor. It means he is God. He is the one who sits in the seat of God's honor. He is at the right hand of God. And he is the right hand of God. The right hand, the right arm. He's the strength of God's ability to save. Jesus Christ is the strength of God's ability to save. Turn with me over to Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52, verse 9 says, "Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. The Lord hath made bare Christ, his holy arm. Every time that we read these verses, I want to tell you this story, and sometimes I don't, and tonight I am. I've told it to you so many times before, but this is how I relate to this. When I was real young, probably about five years old, living in Louisiana, I made this request all the time, but I have a very vivid visual memory of the house that I was not exactly born into, but my second home. My dad was sitting up in his bed, and after me watching all of my TV shows that had muscle men in it, I came up to him and I said, "Dad, show me your muscle." And he pulled his sleeve up, you know, and gave me what he had. And I laid both of my hands on that muscle. And I felt safe. I felt safe in his strength. There it is. There's your muscle. Well, the Lord hath made bare his holy arm for all of his children. All who need his strength, all who need his safety, all who need his comfort, all who are weak and lowly, crying out to him. If you get low enough, if you truly get low enough, you will cry out to him, "Lord," and I don't mean this in any other way than reverence, as a child to a father. But if you get low enough, you'll cry out to him, "Lord, I need to see your muscle. I need to see your strength. I need you to help me. I need you to revive me. Lord, revive me." Do you ever get to a place where you need reviving? Revive me again, please. Be my strength and shield. David was constantly saying, "Lord, please be my strength and my shield. Protect me, defend me, save me by the strength of Christ alone." Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is totally of you. Not me and you together. It's you alone. If that's our cry to him, honestly, we will see his strength. He'll make known Christ to us, the strength of our salvation. We sing the song, "Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way and was wretched and vile as could be, but my Savior in love gave me peace from above when he reached down his hand for me. He lifted me up from the deep miry clay and saved me." I need your strength. I need Christ to be made known to me. Go with me back to Psalm 138. Verse 8 says, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me." I honestly, very few lines in Scripture ought to comfort a sinner's heart like that one right there. One, a person who is just imperfect in every way, shape, and form. "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me." I cannot do it. I can't do it. I cannot perfect myself before God. I can clean up a little bit and I can straighten up and fly right a little bit, but God looks on my heart and God looks on my mind. And I can't do it. I cannot earn my own righteous perfection before God. Thank God, Christ will do it for me. Isn't that relieving? Christ will do it for me. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, "He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." He'll do it. He'll do it for every single one of his people. Verse 8 says, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands." The works of thine own hands. He has no hands but your hands. Lies. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. The works that Christ wrought. The works that he earned perfection for his people. The works that satisfied justice and judgment for his people. The works of his body. The works of his blood. That's where our mercy comes from. That mercy that endures forever. Mercy's in the blood. He said, "Lord, please don't forsake it. Don't forsake mercy. Don't forsake your grace. Don't forsake the works of your own hands." He won't. He cannot deny himself. He said, "I'll never forsake you. Not if you're in me. Not if the Father gave you to me." Our acceptance with God is in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 64 verse 8 says, "He is the potter, and we are the clay. We are the work of his hands." He'll mold us and shape us and do with us whatever he's pleased to do. And thank God he has been pleased to conform us to his image. He will perfect everything that needs to be perfected concerning us. To every soul who is truly looking to him to accomplish that work of perfection and acceptance, the promise of the Father is not only will he accomplish that work, he'll perfect it. Not only will he accomplish acceptance, he'll perfect acceptance. And he'll do it by conforming us to the image of Christ. You've heard the illustration so many times of that man who was whittling those hound dogs. And a fellow came by and said, "Those are fantastic. How do you do that?" And he said, "Well, I just cut off everything that don't look like a hound dog." And that's what the Spirit of God will do for us. He will perfect everything that concerns us. And in the end, we will look just like Jesus Christ. That is unimaginable to me. We don't know what we shall be, but we know that the moment that he appears, we're going to see him. We'll all be changed. We're going to be just like him. He's going to perfect us to the same perfection that Christ is. And I can't wait. I cannot wait. Lord, perfect that which concerns me. Perfect that which concerns us. This is our hope. This is our desire. This is our plea. Lord, please look down on us lowly sinners. Please save your people. Reach down with your right hand and save your people. Perfect that which concerns us. Don't let your mercy toward us end. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. All who are looking to him for that work will receive it. Everyone. All right, let's all stand together.